Well, take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter something. Deuteronomy chapter 8, there it is. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Me again, Margaret. Tell you what, sing this with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. Oh, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Hallelujah. I love those songs. And get our mind thinking on Him this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Well, let's look at the first few verses here, and then we'll get into the message this morning. And we'll take our actual title of our message from these first few verses, and you'll see pretty quick what we're talking about. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy kind of reliving the life of the Israelites, the wanderings there, or not the wanderings, they were guided, but the wilderness. And it says in verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live." That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? That's a pretty good deal. And all you got to do is obey my commandments and you live. And then he says, then you can multiply. And he says, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. By the way, it wasn't a hard task that God gave them, because God knew that they could not do what He could do, and did not ask them to do what He could do. All He said is, all I need you to do is just obey me. And He says, if you'll do that, He says, I'll do the rest. Matter of fact, He had told them, He told Moses, He told Joshua, He said, Joshua, I'll fight for you. I'll take care of you. It's going to be no problem. You just have to obey. And then in verse 2 it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And then He gives us the reason why He led them 40 years in the wilderness. He says this, He says, "To humble thee." This morning that would be the title of my message, "To humble thee." He says, "And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee known that man doeth not live by bread alone." Almost sounds like something that came from Matthew chapter 4. When the Lord Jesus was on the top of the mountain with the devil, right? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And then He says, "But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live." This morning we'll preach on this subject, to humble thee. Father, we love you today. We thank you for allowing us to have this time and this place to come and to worship you. God, thank you for Brother McCollum and his dear family. I pray that you bless them and protect them on the road. And Lord, do be with his wife in this pregnancy. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom there. And God, I do pray that this morning as we lay aside the things that, Lord, we would want to accomplish and the things that I would want to say today, Lord, I pray that you would halt that. And God, that you would just cause me, Lord, just to be a vessel of you today, and that I would deliver the message you would have to be given to your people. And God, I pray that they would be receptive to your word and to the Spirit in their life that would be convicting their heart or directing their heart, whichever. Lord, I pray that you would just have the preeminence. And God, I love you today, and I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in this chapter, we see God gives the reason why there was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, or wilderness traveling through the wilderness. God says, the reason I did this, and he gives a twofold reason, he said, was to humble thee and to prove thee. And God says that in the children of Israel's life is that there were some things that God did specifically in their life to bring about this proof of their heart, or the humility that he wanted to see from their life. If you look up the word humble, it means low, opposed to high or lofty. It means lawfully. Lofty, that's what Jesus said, that he was the high and lofty one, that he's the humble one. He said, learn of me. Why? Because I'm meek and lowly. That word lowly meaning humble, and we'll see that later on. But we also see the word humility. I love the word humility because here's what it means. It means freedom from pride or arrogance. I don't know about you, but the one person in this world I don't like to hang around is an arrogant person. Or a prideful person, when it's all about them, you know? It almost feels like you're hanging out with Satan himself sometimes. Hello? Oh, we hit a chord. When you don't say amen, I know that we hit something there, you know? It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and he hits something, you're like, he's like, did that hurt? You're like, no. He's going to hit it again. But see, the thing is that pride is the opposite of humility. The only cure, as Warren Wiersbe says, the only cure to pride is humility. The only way to cure pride in our life is through humility. Because the sin of pride, and I know Brother Latta has preached on this, is that the sin of pride, or the pride that's in our life, is of the devil, because the devil fell from heaven because he said I too many times. Because he had a pride issue. And here God is saying, look, the reason that Israel, you're going through this wilderness is because you've got a pride problem. And I come to correct that through some things that he brought about in their life. In this chapter also, we see that God was trying to get his people ready to live in his will or in his promised land. Before you can ever enter into God's will, you must be humble. Isn't that true? You say, what is... Sometimes to know what something is, you got to know what it isn't. Well, pride is not, number one, it's not low self-esteem. Having low self-esteem is not doesn't mean you're humble. That's not it. You ever meet these people and, you know, I sing the song a lot here, blooms despair, this agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery, whoa. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Blooms despair, this agony on me. That was from Hee Haw. Some of y'all, y'all get that. Sorry, I was raised with Hee Haw on the TV. And anyway. But you know, I mean, you ever meet those people? I don't like hanging around them either. You know, oh man, I'll tell you. And sometimes Wiggins can, that's me, sometimes Wiggins can get that way. Sometimes Wiggins, man, you ever have one of those days where it's just everything you try to do is just, you run into walls? You ever have those days where it just seems like nothing's going right? You go, Lord, why are you doing this to me? You know? Okay, that's just me. I'll move on. And then the second thing, humility is not, it's not the acknowledgement that you're humble. Well, I'm just trying to be so humble. I've been so humble all my life. Gag me. Oh, it makes me sad. I don't want to hang around those people either. You don't have to remind, you know, it's like hanging around somebody that has to, they have to remind themselves of how pretty they are. I'm pretty. That doesn't happen around me, but anyway, you know. But then the third thing humility is not being poor. See, our world thought for many years, and I know we have a missionary here, is that we, you know, there was a time, and I was raised on the east side of the world, there was a time if a missionary had a nice car and was going to a nice place, you didn't support him because he wasn't humble enough. The same was said about the preachers. As long as he couldn't have nothing nice, he couldn't live nowhere nice. And the reason is that if you keep them poor, you keep them humble. That was the old school way. But just because you don't have anything don't mean that you're humble. Trust me, I've lived there. I know people who live there. And listen, we can't just say somebody's humble by what they have and what they don't have. Because I've met a lot of humble people who had a lot of things that God had blessed them with, and they were very thankful for those things. So that's what pride isn't, or what humility isn't. God maybe is doing something today in our lives to humble us. And that's why we see in our story here today in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that he says, Israel, the reason I led you through these 40 years is to humble thee. Let me ask you this morning, what does God have to do in our life to humble us? By the way, God can tighten the screws down on our lives sometimes. Amen? And sometimes, you know, God puts us in that vice and God puts us in those troubles and trials sometimes. Why? Because He's trying to humble us. You say, have you ever been humbled? About every day of my life. I told this story not too long ago, and I'll tell it to y'all because it happened here. You know, sometimes you think, man, I got it. You ever do that? Okay, none of y'all do that, but I do it. And I'm a humble person. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm poor. No. But, you know, sometimes, man, you just think, I got this thing. And, you know, and y'all remember that time I sung, and man, I went on a different course with that song, and it hurt my heart. It sounded so bad. Boy, you talk about, I told Pastor, I said, I'm done singing. I'm done. I wanted to walk out that back door and never come back to this church again. But you know what? God used those situations to humble me, remind me that the voice and the talents I have are not mine. They're His. There was a time, I never forget, when I was going through paramedic school many, many years ago, seven, 8 years ago. I was going through paramedic school, and I got really good at putting IVs in people. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, who wouldn't like sticking something in, you know, somebody who's being mean, especially, right? And you learn who to give the right, there's 14 gauges, you use those on the people that are being mean to you. You know, they're about that big around. You can draw some blood out quick with those. Somebody's being mean, anyway, some of y'all nurses, y'all know what I'm talking about. But, man, I got pretty good at it. And, matter of fact, the nurses were kind of, hey, Williams, would you go in there and do this one? They know that they wouldn't let the other students do it. I was like, man, I'm getting pretty good at this. So I was like, man, I got this thing whooped. I'm about on my 200th, IV. I've not missed too many. I went in there, and the lady was in there. She said, you get one try. I said, ma'am, that's all I need. Somehow Jesus in heaven heard that. And he said, oh, really? And she had a vein that was just looking at me going, right here, buddy, right here. And I was going, well, I got this. This is easy. I mean, she had a great AC vein right there. I was just like, I made the biggest mess I went through the vein because I'd got too cocky. You say, was that it? No. I can't tell you the whole story, but anyway, the doctor got involved in this. And there was a meeting, and there was, you know, anyway, it was bad. And God humbled me. And I remember whenever I had to go back to that same hospital to finish my clinicals, that I went in there shaking. Wiggins, you're going to do some IVs today. I went in there, and the lady's like, you know, sir, have you done this before? Said, yes, ma'am. But I'm not very good at it. No, you didn't say that. But it is amazing how God can humble you. I had a motorcycle as a kid, and I was jumping in the ditch one day. And, of course, you know, some of the ladies from the neighborhood were around. And I don't think my wife was there, but anyway, some of the, you know. So I was gonna show off on my motorcycle. I'd been jumping this ramp all day, all week, all month. I jumped that thing, and, of course, they were out there, you know. I was like, watch this. Man, I got me a running start, and I hit that ramp. And the motorcycle went that way, and I somehow went that way. I lost skin here. I lost half of my clothes. It was bad. You were I was humbled. I mean, I walked back to the, and my motorcycle handlebars were this way, and a tire was kind of like this now. God has a way of humbling us, doesn't He? You see, there are some things that cause us to get pride in our life, and we see those in this story. Look, if you will, back. I want to give you some things this morning that God has showed me through this scripture and God has helped me with, is that the problem that Israel was having, number one, was a resistance problem. You see, when pride wells up in our heart and we have a lack of humility, we were resisting God in our life. But Jerry Seiler said this, pastor up in Ohio said this. He said, revival is when God comes to us and we offer Him no resistance. And I believe that. I believe when we resist God, that we're resisting what God is trying to do in our life. And we see that here. We see that they were trying to resist God and resist what He was doing in their life, even though He was providing the bread and the manna for them and the quail and all these things and the water, that they were resisting what God was trying to do in their life. And that's why most of them died in the wilderness, because of their resistance of what God was trying to do. And we see that in verse, notice if you will, in verse 14 also, it says, Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. They forgot, they resisted Him. Notice in verse 20 also it says, as the nation which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not obey would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You see, what happens in mine and your life is when God comes to us and He tries to do a work in our life, is that we push Him off. You see, the Scripture tells us that in James 4:7 that we're to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Nowhere in the Scripture does it ever say that we're to resist God. You see, if we resisted the devil as much as we resisted what God was trying to do in our life, we would live pretty good lives. But see, God comes to us, and I told you this, I think, Wednesday night. You know, one of my favorite commentaries, or not commentaries, but documentaries on TV is Cops. Any cop show. And all of us agree on this, is that we watch it to watch them run. We want them to get out of the car and not comply. As a watcher, right? So I watch it, you know, and they get out of the car and you're like, please take off. Please take off, because I want to see that taser come out. And I want to see them do a belly flop. Hey, it's not my fault they run. And what happens is that whenever a cop gets a person out of a car and he says, put your hands behind your back, and he says, do not what? Resist. Because why? I was just listening to this just the other day. Is that a cop said, don't resist me, because we can do this either the easy way or the hard way. And guess what? In the Christian life, we can either do things the easy way or we can do it the hard way. Because God can put us on our backsides and cause us to be humbled by an experience in our life, or we can humble ourselves. And see, that's what we ought to do, is humble ourselves before God this morning. See, they had a resistance problem. They resisted the Lord. The resistance of God and humility in their life. God was trying to do a work, but yet they said no. Now I'll show you the next thing. They had a resentment problem. Notice verse 5, if you will. Verse 5 says, Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You see, what happens is that when God began to chasten them, they begin to resent God. Hello? By the way, they resisted God when they came out of Egypt. You remember, if you go back and you read the story, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 11 mainly. But in Deuteronomy, or Numbers chapter 11, is that when they came out of Egypt, and Exodus tells us this too, is that they had just crossed over the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And guess what they did? The Bible says they began to complain and to murmur. And they said this, they said, would to God that we were back in Egypt, where we had the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic and all these things. They said, we wish we were back there. They had already resented what God had done in their life. And what happens is that when we resent God, when we have a resentment problems, we have a pride problem and lack of humility in our life. See, that can happen to any of us. One thing that ever destroy a marriage is resentment. Towards your spouse or towards your kids. You know, there's times whenever I discipline my kids and, you know, there was a little resistance and a little resentment there. You know why I, as a parent, I discipline my kids the way the Scripture says to? Because it humbles them. And it shows them they're not in charge. And when they get bigger, if you don't teach them that they're not in charge, then they're going to have a pride problem when they grow up. And you say, do you beat your kids? No, no. I do it the way the Scripture says, and it works. Now, was I right every time? No, because I'm an imperfect dad. There were times I didn't do it right, but I'm going to tell you this, that God says in verse 5 that He chasteneth us. You see, God chasteneth us, and sometimes we can resist that chastening of the Lord, but sometimes we can resent that chastening of the Lord. You see, sometimes when God chastens us and chastises us in our walk with Him, and when we swerve and when we go away from Him, we can resent what He does. And we ask the question all the time, Lord, why'd You do that? Sometimes why is not for You to know on this side of heaven. Sometimes we can resist and we can resent what God is doing in our life. And that is what happened to Israel. Israel began to resist and to resent what God had done in their life. And that's why they began to drop like flies. As the book of Hebrews tells us, because of disobedience. I want you to notice the last thing, and this takes up a lot of this chapter. They had a remembrance problem. They had a remembrance problem, not only a resistance, a resentment, but a remembrance problem. Verse 6, look there if you will, please. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. And the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters and fountains of deep that spring out of valleys and hills. He said, I'm giving you wheat and barley and all these things. He says in verse 9, he says, and a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. In other words, there's going to be plenty. It's going to be plentiness. He says, thou shalt not lack anything in it. He says, I'm going to provide everything for you. And then he says in verse 10, he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good, the land which He hath given thee. And then in verse 11 tells us something here very important. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments, His statutes, which I command thee, lest when thou hast eaten in full, hast built goodly houses and there dwelt therein. And verse 13 says, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold multiply, and all that thou hast multiplied, he said, then your heart lifted up. He said, you forget the Lord. In verse 15, then he says, verse 15, he says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee to do good and at the latter end. And verse 17 says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Well, they forgot very quickly, didn't they? Sometimes we have to be careful in our life. Because verse 18, I want you to read that, then we're going to talk about this last thing. But he says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto his fathers, as in this day. He says, keep on reading, verse 19, he says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As we've been studying on Wednesday night, the book of Hosea, we see that they did forget, and that they did perish. A lot of them did perish. But I want to bring us to this point this morning, because they had a remembrance problem. You say, what does that mean? Well, sometimes pride can help us forget what God has done. See, sometimes in our life, God can begin to bless us so much and begin to bless our lives is that we can feel that we have accomplished something. But all the while, God has done it in our life and through our life. You see, without God, we can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing in our life. I say to you this morning is that let's don't forget what God has done in our life. There's times that I go back and I think, man, just a few months ago, I was living in a trailer. I mean, a little old pull behind camper, and I'm thinking, Lord, look at my house now. I'm living a beautiful new home. And if I'm not careful, I can forget that. I can start being mean about everything in the house or picking at everything. But I need to remember where God has brought me from. But greater than that, I need to remember that at the age of 16, I was lost and on my way to hell. And that Jesus Christ in His grace and His mercy came to a little small town in the backside of Florida called Enon, Florida. Nobody knows where that is. I tell you this all the time. There's more people in the graveyard beside the church than there was inside. But God saw fit to come to that revival meeting that night. And He knew that there was a 16-year-old boy there that needed to hear the gospel. And as a 16-year-old boy, I heard the gospel and I saw that I was lost and on my way to hell and realized that only God was through His Son, Jesus Christ, could I obtain salvation. And you know, I've been saved for all these years. I'm now 41 years old, 16-year-old to 41-year-old. Sometimes we can forget the Lord's salvation. We can forget all the things that God's done for us. We can forget those times when our kids were sick and maybe our loved one was sick and on that bed of despair and God raised them up again. We can forget how God has been truly good to us. Men, you ought to look around. If you're married, you ought to thank God. Women, whatever you want to do there. You did the best you could. You know? But man, I'm truly blessed. I got a great wife. I got wonderful kids. I got a great house. I got a great job, ministry. Folks, I'll tell you what, if you don't appreciate Heritage Baptist Church, you ought to go visit other churches. Because we do from time to time when I go preach at other churches or go visit other churches, sometimes me and Donya say it all the time, I can't wait to get back to our church. I mean, I've been in churches before, I'm like, you ever just do that, your little eyes? You're like, you're not sure what's going on? I'm just ready to go. And you hate to have that feeling, don't you? And I mean, there's great churches. I've visited great churches too. But I'm saying I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for the church that God has given. I'm thankful for my pastor and pastor's wife. Amen. She's down here. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all the people that God has placed in my life at the right time. The times when I was ready to get out of the ministry, God put the right people in the right path. And listen to me, we ought to be thankful. We ought to remember, and it ought to humble us that God, the God of heaven, would be willing to reach down and touch our lives and bless our lives. We need to remember that we were lost and hellbound, and yet while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. That when I hated God, when I was at enmity with God, God still loved me. I need to remember those things. We can get so far removed from things sometimes, and pride will do that. Pride will push us away from remembering what God does for our life and try to get us to focus on what we have done and what we've accomplished. The moment that you think, I got this, you're stepping on thin ice. And you may be able to take a few steps and get away with it, but one day you're going to find yourself on the bottom and you're going to be doing this. There's no way to get out. You say, man, you just don't know my life. I don't have to know your life. I know the God I serve. And God has been good to all of us. You say, well, I've done this. I've lost this. I've lost this person. Hey, listen, I don't understand what God's doing in your life, but I do know this, is that God works all things for the good. It may not look good now, but God is working it to the good. We need to remember what He's doing. You see, we all can have these problems, a resistance problem, a resentment problem, or a remembrance problem. I want to end this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to show you the greatest example. It's in my Bible somewhere. There it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want to show you the greatest example of humility. And hopefully this will really kind of spark our mind and our spirit to remember what God has truly done for us. He said, let this mind be in you in verse 5 of chapter 2 of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which will also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because He was God. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me remind you, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of heaven had left the throne room of heaven and came down, and he humbled himself. You say, how did he humble himself? He went from being the God of heaven to being a baby in the womb of Mary. That's humility. He chose to be born like a lamb was born, not like a human. He chose to hang out with the misfits. Hello? Jesus would have rather hung out with the Pelicans, that's a team. The Pelicans, that's a team in Florida. Anyway, but the publicans and the sinners than he would have the religious crowd. You know why? Because that was the crowd he was going to reach. But he went all the way from Golgotha to Golgotha, and he hung on a cross. No man had to tie him down, hold him down. He didn't resist. He didn't resent what his father was doing in his life. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, well, what did God do? Verse 9 tells us what God did. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. See, God's ways are not our ways. You know why? Because God said this, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I heard somebody give an illustration of this not too long ago. If you take a pyramid and the way we climb the pyramid, God just flips it upside down. He says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God said this, he said, he giveth grace unto the humble. But he said, I resist the proud. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, as a sinner this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can resist Him. You can keep that Holy Spirit at bay in your life that He's trying to convict you of your sin, and you can resist that. But I want to tell you, one day you're going to resent that. And one day, the result of that is that you're going to die and go to hell because you resisted the Holy One of Heaven. There was a hell that was prepared not for us today, but for the devil and his angels. And guess what? That is the place where those who resist the Lord God of heaven, who resist the Holy Spirit working in their life and they reject Jesus Christ, they're one day going to die and go to hell. And when you go to hell, you don't get out and come back up and say, give me another chance. You're done. And that's why God said today is the day of salvation. See, it helps us to remember what God has done for us. This morning, I don't know about you, but I deal with pride just like everybody else does. I need more humility in my life. And you know what I figured out? It's easier for me to just humble myself before God than to allow God to humble me before all. You see, sometimes we can do things in private and get them taken care of, but sometimes God will let it be known. That's why He said in the Scripture that our sins will be made manifest. It means brought to light. Be sure your sins will find you out. Woo, man, ain't that true? As a child, I thought I got away with a lot of things. But my mom had those eyes that went all the way around her head. And apparently she had agents everywhere too. Apparently most of those agents worked at our schools. Now this is the day before cell phones. Y'all remember those days? I would make it home. Get home and I'd clean, and I knew I'd gotten in trouble at school that day. Thought, man, I got it. You know, I got a spanking at school, I'm good. Clean the house, just kind of, you know, because you know you're in trouble anyway. Mom would get home and I'd, hi, Mom, welcome home. She'd give me that look. And I knew when she gave me that look, she knew what I'd done. She'd say, Is there anything you want to tell me? No. Clean my room, wash the dishes. Say, no. There's more than that, isn't there? What happened at school today? And that's when your heart goes from here to down on the floor. It's just like, I've already heard. So-and-so's already called me. I had kinfolk that work at school too. I hated that. They called her at work. Said, hey, this is what Michael did today. You know what? As bad as that was in my life, I don't want to stand before holy God and say, I know what you did. I know exactly what you did. And that wasn't for me. You did it for yourself. And as a Christian, we can either serve God and do it because of humility in our life because we want to serve Him, or we can do things in this life because of us. And guess what's eternal? Only what we do for Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I plead with you. We have people that come down front every Sunday. Come down here and get it right with the Lord and accept Jesus Christ, what He's done. Church member, Christian this morning, don't be resistant to Him. Don't be resentful to Him. And remember what He's done for you. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father, we love You today and we thank You for all You do. God, I'm humbled that You would use me today to preach Your Word. God, this morning, if there be one here that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord, I'm begging You, I'm pleading with You, that through Your Word, through the Holy Spirit today, that it's done a work in their heart and that they've seen that they're a sinner and that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Lord, You told us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray that that name would be called upon today. Lord, I pray that through humility, God, that they would come and accept Jesus Christ. But God, for all of us as Christians and church members this morning, I pray, God, that humility is found in our life. And Lord, that You see it and that it abounds. And God, where humility abounds, we know Your grace abounds. So, Father, I thank You for the day. I ask You to speak to Your people now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Hymn 534. Cleanse me, as Brother Tim begins to sing. Let's